I want to talk about virtue this morning, and virtue not in the sense that we normally understand it. Its etymology coming from the same word as virile. So on the face of it, there may be an oxymoron present here. I want to talk about virtue as an art of life, as the way that we live and the way that we live out our values. And how I find in our society, probably in every society, there is a confusion about what is virtue, and we get caught up in a certain sense of grandiosity. Let me explain. I remember when the musical social satirist Tom Lehrer celebrated his 40th birthday. He said that it was kind of humbling when he thought that when Mozart was his age, he'd been dead for 5 years. And I guess that we can't help but compare ourselves to the achievements of those who are clearly successful. But what is successful? And successful in our minds almost automatically comes down to issues of fame, of recognition, of power, of grandness, of sometimes grandiosity. One of the last conversations that I had with my mother wasn't really a fight. It was a little counseling session that we did on each other. My uncle, my great uncle, her uncle Herman, was a wonderful and recognized musician and concert pianist. But he never achieved great fame outside of musical circles. He was a musician's musician, but he wasn't a famous musician. And she kept talking about poor Uncle Herman. Poor Uncle Herman, his poor wife. And I kept saying to her, but Mom, he did for his entire life what he loved doing. He got up every morning to go to work and walked to a piano and created music, for others. He was a close friend of George Gershwin's. He was Gershwin's piano teacher. This sends out a note in a life that ripples, that goes on, that continues. There's the joy in his moment of creativity, the joy in the continuity of his life being blessed with able to do something that made his eyes light up. Would fame have made his life better? Well, the public would have known about him, but what would that have meant to his life on a day-to-day basis, or even on a summary basis, as he lay on his deathbed, ah, I was famous, die happy. That's not my experience of what life is all about. My experience of what life is all about, because I am honored by being asked to be with people in our great and trying moments of birth, of marriage, sometimes of divorce, of remarriage, of renewing. And I warranty all of my weddings, 10 years, you get a free re-up, you remember that. I don't warranty parts, just labor. In case there are any lawyers present, that's an important caveat. But is fame success? I don't think it would have been for Uncle Herman. I don't think that it is for most of us. We live our lives in the moments that we spend with each other, in moments of joy, of creativity, of celebration, sometimes of mourning. Sometimes those great moments in life are when we hold each other and we sob. Sometimes they are when we sing. There are all of these things that make up our lives, and grandeur and grandiosity and celebrity are not part of what is intrinsically important to who we are and what we do in the world. We have but to look around at our society to see how it plays out. That celebrity, well, first of all, we confuse very badly celebrity with notoriety, being notorious. I remember shortly after the O.J. trial, someone going up to him on camera and asking for his autograph, saying, "I don't have an autograph of a murderer in my collection." That's a kind of a win-win situation, because O.J. got his recognition and this other person got their sick little autograph. But we don't understand as a society, or we tend not to understand as a society, the difference between achievement, creativity, and fame and notoriety. As Andy Warhol said, everybody's going to get their 15 minutes of fame, and if you will surf through, I'm not asking you to watch it as a religious obligation, but if you surf through the broadcast channels at the various reality shows and talk shows, you will find people trading their dignity, trading their humanity, trading their sense of any kind of self-worth for humiliation, but humiliation when the spotlight is on and you're on camera. So things that we would not whisper, we will sometimes shout. Our society, partially through technology, and raising the ante on what it takes to be famous and notorious and lowering the moral bar for that, has created this turning of Thoreau on his head. We now have so many people who are happy to live lives of noisy desperation. I long for quiet desperation. I long for the desperation that will go, as the gospel saying, take your desperation with your prayers into the closet and stop showing it off to the entire world, because fame is not an end in itself. Being well known is not an end in itself. Having huge possessions is not success. And we equate it so often with success as fame, as money, as possessions. You are known as a man by how big your television screen is and how small your telephone is. This is nuts. You know? This just is not any kind of sense of real values, because what we are truly known as during the course of our lives is not our cars and our TVs and our telephones, not our artworks, our collections of autographs, or any of those things that might give us some momentary pleasure, but they are not us. Status symbols are not status. Status symbols are symbols of what we think might be status, but it doesn't confer upon us permanent joy and worth and dignity. That we do with each other. That we do in how we treat people. Someone said that real morality is what we do when no one's looking, or when we think no one's looking. And in this age, we could be wrong. But it's what you do not out of fear of being observed by somebody else, but it's what you do out of a sense of what I do not want to see myself do and how I do not want to think about myself. It comes from an inner sense of values, not a sense of possession. It's not the noise. It's not the fame. They are ephemeras. I think that Karl Marx was essentially wrong when he believed that what alienates us is that we are alienated from what it is that we manufacture by the surplus profit that goes off to the capitalist. All of that might be valid social issues, but the psychological issue, the issue of real worth, the issue of real virtue, is in what we create, not what we're paid for it. It's what we feel in the act of creation and not the fame of that piece of creation that we have done. I don't know that Mozart, well, we pretty much do know that Mozart was not particularly happy. And despite the movie, I don't know how Salieri did on a day-to-day basis, but he seems to have a good time writing his music also. What happens years after our lives? What difference does that make? How do we spend our lives together? What is our sense of where real virtue lies? In our society, one of the things that's happened in all of the economics is that most of us are not involved in creating something that is artistic. And so what happens is we change our definition of who we are from what we make, I'm talking about physical objects, not money, into what we take that money and buy and own and consume. So much of who we are seems to be derived by what we consume as opposed to what we create. And I think that this is backwards. I think that who we are at the deepest level is manifest by what we create. And it doesn't mean that we all have to be sculptors, musicians, and writers and be in the arts. But we can create joy in each other's lives. We can create meals for hungry people. We can create warmth for cold people. We can create communities that find people and nourish people and cherish people. Those are the great creative acts of life from which we either create or discover real and substantial meaning. When Aristotle spoke about virtue, what he was talking about, and he used the Greek word, I always have to watch Dennis over here, Mr. Shapiro, he used the word arete for virtue. And arete is virtue in the sense of a good creation, something that has a sense of nobility put into it. And it's very important, and he's very clear and explicit on this point. He said the art is in the creation. And whether you create that sculpture out of gold or out of brass, out of wood or out of clay is not where the intrinsic value and virtue lie. It is in being tied in that moment of creativity in the task in front of you and creating something wonderful and real and authentic. And even if that statue withers and chips and cracks, the statues will, the virtue remains because it was tied to that moment of creativity. We in our society, and I suspect in all societies, or Aristotle wouldn't have been talking about it, get confused about gold being intrinsically more important than brass or silver or wood or clay. And we need to remind ourselves that virtue is in the art and in the art of how we live with each other. Ecclesiastes in the Bible said very much the same sort of thing. He said that he tried as a great king the path of power, but it didn't feed his heart and his soul. He tried pleasure and he had a good time, but it didn't nourish him. He tried even wisdom and said, so what good is my wisdom? Because at some point I'm going to die, and where does my wisdom go? And he came down to, you know, do what is in front of you to do and do it with as much passion and enthusiasm and connection to what you're doing as you possibly can. He wrote, eat, drink, and be merry. Spend your time with people that you love, because this is the spiritual food. It's not in wealth. It's not in power. It's not in consumption. It is in sharing time and life and love. We have such a sense of grandiosity. You cannot be a success unless you achieve all of these great things. It's important to remember that some of the great utopian visionaries led to horrifying dystopias. That grandiosity makes us lose a sense of values and of the human scale. Mother Teresa wrote, and I think that it sums up what I've wanted to say, as well as the second verse of our second hymn, which you again channeled whatever it was that I was thinking. If you cannot sing like angels, if you cannot speak before thousands, you can give from deep within you. You can change the world with your love. Mother Teresa wrote that it is not to do great things where our success lies. It is to do small things with great love.